Welcome to the Heart of Innovation, 60 minutes that can save life and limb with new breakthrough ideas and innovation changing the healthcare landscape. Brought to you by patient advocacy group, thewaytomyheart.org, in partnership with Abbott. Here are your hosts for the Heart of Innovation, Emmy Award-winning journalist and founder of The Way to My Heart, Kim McNicholas, and interventional cardiologist and founder of the Save My Piggies Health Education Series, Dr. John Phillips.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the show. We have an incredible Save My Piggies. We have Rebecca and her mom, Nancy, that are here. They're going to be jumping in the next segment. But first, I just want to kick off our initial segment, just chit-chatting with Dr. Phillips, because he came in today and he was like, you know what? I am just disheveled this week. And I feel actually the same way, because I just can't believe all the calls that we were getting on our Leg Saver hotline for the Global PAD Association. But every single patient, I'm happy to say, has been facilitated to more advanced care. We even had one Dr. Phillips yesterday that the patient went into the hospital near you. You almost got this one. They had a choice between going to Columbus to see you or going to Cincinnati. And it turns out they were just that much closer to Cincinnati, and they chose Cincinnati, or else you actually would have been working today. But instead, we have Dr. Coral at Christ Hospital in Cincinnati, who ended up having to get up early and go visit this patient. But the amazing thing about this patient, Dr. Phillips, is that the daughter had called me and said, hey, I'm bringing my mom to emergency. She has this wound on her foot. It won't heal. She's in excruciating pain. It looks infected. Goes to this small community hospital. I'm telling her, you need to push for a vascular assessment, get an ABI, which is an ankle brachial index, where they put blood pressure cuffs on your legs and your arms, measure the differential, or an ultrasound, or a CT angiogram, where they pump in contrast fluid into the vessel so they can light up and see if there are any potential blockages. They refuse to do any of that. They only focused on the wound. And 3 days later, they say, you know, by golly, the wound's not healing. I think we need to call in vascular surgery. And I said, you know what? Stop. This is not the place that you want to be. You need an advanced limb salvage specialist. You either need to go to Columbus or you need to go to Cincinnati. They said Cincinnati. I texted Dr. Coral. I said, can you help me transfer this patient? I don't know what it entails. And he jumped to it within hours. This patient was in a medical transport to Cincinnati, and he was there first thing this morning checking on the patient and saying she's going in to get her blood flow restored on Monday. Amazing, right? But this is not a one-off story.
Well, yeah, and I think we've never, since this is obviously a Save My Piggies episode, but we've never spent any time going over your, or at least for my edification, the Limb Saver hotline. Tell me a little bit about that, because, you know, I live in this bubble of patients come and see me. We do evaluations. We take care of them as best we can. I hear, obviously, the stories that occur at the St. Elsewhere's of the world. And, you know, we advocate for patients to have second opinions, third opinions. But you really are kind of on the front line for some of these folks. So let's say I call the Limb Saver hotline. Who am I talking to, and how does it like evolve to you getting there and potentially picking me up and taking me to, if I live by you, taking me to an office visit with a physician?
So it's the Leg Saver hotline. It's through the Global PAD Association. You've heard of the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association. We also are on the American Diabetes Association's website if you're searching for information about PAD, peripheral artery disease, those blocked arteries in the legs, right? Mainly the legs, but you can have it elsewhere in your arms, et cetera, in the peripherals. But we're on there because PAD is, of course, a complication as well of diabetes, and there are a lot of other risk factors as well. But when someone calls or is sent to the Leg Saver hotline, they need to talk to someone. They're talking to me. They're talking to what we call a PAD navigator. We have patients and we have caregivers and we have retired nurses that can all answer the phone that are trained to help facilitate care for patients that are in need of comprehensive education about PAD. Doctor, you only have, 15 minutes sometimes with a patient? You're telling them they have PAD and, oops, I got an emergency call. I got to run out. And they're going, oh, my God, what is PAD? And what does this test result mean? We have patients that call us because they ended up getting in to see the doctor. They went in for the test, but they can't get in to have someone look at the results for literally a month. And so they're freaking out about PAD. And what they can do is call the hotline. We can sit down with them, talk to them about PAD, ease their anxiety and fears, help them build a set of questions so that when they do have that appointment, they know what to ask the doctor so that they can leave there with a feeling comforted that they got their questions answered, right? And know exactly what they can do. Now, there are a lot of patients, and I would say this is most patients who call in, are on deck for amputation. So when they search on Google or on Bing or on Yahoo or DuckDuckGo, we're not on the first page because we're a 501c3. We don't have the funds to compete with the medical device companies of the world and the Mayo Clinics and Harvard's and whoever else has, you know, more money to spend on marketing and search optimization to be on the top, right, when someone searches for peripheral. But if they're really looking for amputation prevention, they're going to search five pages in and they'll find us, or they'll go to the American Diabetes Association's website and they'll find us. They call us and they'll say, hey, my loved one is on deck for amputation, or I'm on deck for amputation. Is this the only option? And we can help provide options for a second opinion, such as the patient that even just this week, yesterday, in fact, her medical transport canceled on her, and she just happened to be near me. And she's 87 years old. And I said, hey, you know what? You're right near me. I'm going to drop everything. I'm going to come get you. And I'm going to get you to an advanced limb saver that's near you. And of course, that doctor, Dr. John Laird, he's world renowned, walks in and says, you need to be admitted. And of course, I'm going to be able to save your leg. So we've saved nearly 1,000 patients who have called into the hotline and have been on deck for amputation from having amputation, or they have had a lesser amputation, maybe a toe or a few toes, or even a transmetatarsal, meaning all the toes had to be removed, but their legs were not removed, through us being able to facilitate care in a timely fashion. And just as I mentioned earlier, you know, being able to be on speed dial with doctors that really care, that understand what I do and are willing to jump and say how high, you know, when I call them and then text them, they take it seriously. And there's a contingency of doctors, including yourself, around the world that are on speed dial with me and know what I do, why I do it. And they know I'm not going to cry wolf. They know that if I message them and say, I need help, they're willing to help with, you know, just like Dr. Laird yesterday, as well as Dr. Coral yesterday, you know, getting a patient even transferred and doing what it took to get them to another hospital.
Well, coming up after the break, I want to continue this conversation for a little bit, and then we'll get into the Save My Piggies, if that's okay. So hang with us.
Sounds good.
Leg health can indicate risk for heart attack, stroke, and amputation. If you have leg pain or cramps while walking, get checked for peripheral artery disease, or PAD. PAD is plaque buildup in mainly the leg arteries. Be sure to ask your physician for an ankle brachial index, also called an ABI test, where they use blood pressure cuffs to analyze the blood pressure in your legs. If they discover you have arterial plaque that's limiting blood flow to your feet, medicine and a regimented walking program are frontline treatment. If PAD is in its advanced stages, your physician may schedule a surgical intervention. Minimally invasive tools are available to remove plaque and restore blood flow, including Cardiovascular Systems Diamondback 360 atherectomy system, which sands away plaque that is a hard calcium. It's important to discuss all options with your physician, and if told you have no options, get a second opinion. Take a stand against amputation. For more information, go to standagainstamputation.com. That's standagainstamputation.com.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
Welcome back, everybody. I think I struck a nerve with Miss Kimberly today. And, you know, historically, the Save My Piggies have been interviewing patients and their family members about a vascular issue or medical issue where they kind of took things into their own hands to some degree and advocated for themselves. But today, I think we're going to just continue the conversation about Miss Kimberly and her passion and her drive and her commitment to, on a larger scale, impacting patients for the positive with peripheral arterial disease and limb-threatening vascular issues. If I may continue, Kim, is that okay? Because I feel like you and I are at a bit of a precipice, funding-wise, for continuing the show, funding for your efforts, including the Leg Saver Hotline. So tell me a little bit about how you go about securing funds for, let's say, the Leg Savers. I mean, what is this, private donations? Are you getting grants? What are you doing? And how do the coffers look these days?
The coffers are low. I hate to say that, but they are.
By the way, are you okay with this pivoting to this?
Well, I think a 501c3 is fully transparent anyway, so I might as well be upfront. I mean, anyone can request a 501c3's records, you know, with the IRS, you know, what we report every single year. We started this in 2019. And we ended up, a lot of it was funded out of my life savings over the last 4 years. There are some things that I just don't like to say no to people. If I see people that need help, then I want to help them. I don't want to say no. And even if some things don't fit necessarily in our mission statement and, you know, around our parameters, you know, for what we do as a 501c3, as our charter states, I still don't like to say no. And I've bought plane tickets for patients going from, you know, South Africa to England. I've paid for four tires. These are just random examples, right? One-off examples. Four tires for the daughter of a patient. She was in Texas and her dad had already lost one leg in Florida. He was on deck for the other leg. And she was a pre-law student and didn't have the funds to get new tires. So I paid for four tires. She got in her car, drove 7 hours to go pick up her dad, and then another 5 hours to get to a Limb Saver. And happily, we were able to get him to a doctor to save the leg. And she drove him clear back to Texas to live with her. And so we do a lot of things like that. You know, we've paid for prosthetics for patients before. We've paid for home health equipment, such as shower chairs, because the insurance does not provide some of these critical items when they send a patient home. They may not receive them for weeks. So we do a lot. Because I have dipped into, you know, my life savings, that's really gone down. It took us a while to for proven product market fit, in a sense. I, you know, cut my teeth on entrepreneurship in Silicon Valley, where you're scrappy, you use your life savings, you max out your credit cards, you do everything in the world. You don't go and ask people for money until you can prove that you're actually having a tangible impact, that you have that proven product market fit, not just an MVP. You gotta have the tangible impact. And it took me a couple years to really get that in place. And once I did that, I was able to, we've had Boston Scientific come to the table with money from a grant. We've had Bard come to us and offer us a grant. We've had help from Philips Healthcare. We've had Janssen's Save Legs, Change Lives program. You come to us and it's all really, really helpful. And it means so much that industry has come to us. The first one to come to help us out was CSI, Cardiovascular Systems Incorporated, that came to support our radio show here and the Save My Piggies podcast. They merged with Abbott And then Abbott took over that sponsorship. And please, 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 Abbott, I hope you take on the third year.
Yes, Abbott, we are at.
Nameless.
So again, Kim, I'm honest. So I'm serious here in the sense that, like, this is our opportunity. We have you, and thankfully, you've helped me give us a voice, and a voice that touches a lot of people. Right? I mean, I believe we're on YouTube, correct? Mm-hmm. So you're on YouTube.
Are.
We've got this going, but so our opportunity to reach people is through this vehicle. So let's talk about it. Let's figure out on the airway, go live, like, hey, we need help. We need help from industry to help sponsor this, because, you know, you said something very interesting to me. Well, yeah, okay, let's say I'm starting a microchip company and I'm putting everything into it because hopefully there's going to be a return on my investment and people are going to want to, you know, invest, and obviously it's going to make, you know, change the world, but there's going to be money to be made. There's no money for you to make here. Like, you're doing what you do is out of the kindness of your own heart. Yep. I see that we've got some folks on the call here. Douglas has his hand up, and at some point I think he's going to make a comment, but, you know, the return on the investment, is the way I see it, is not a financial return, but it's patients who are alive and patients who are walking. And if that doesn't move the needle for somebody with deep pockets, and y'all know who we're talking about, then I don't know what does.
And I've had people tell me that, and this is sad because I don't agree, the industry doesn't really actually care about patients and what we do. They like what we do. And I just feel like when I've talked to individuals at these companies, they
do
really
that?
Care.
Yeah, no, I think they
do. Really care.
Right.
And that was a really, and I've heard that multiple times. And I just don't think that that's the case. I think that it's on me to figure out a way to maybe show in a different way why their money is well used. I don't know. But every time I apply for a grant, I apply for a larger grant because I don't even take a salary from it. I've dug in the last 4 years. I've drained my life savings so I could live. I'm very lucky because I also have been here with my dad and my mom, and I helped them out before my mom transitioned and now helping my dad, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And I do feel lucky. Maybe if I lived on my own, I wouldn't be able to do this, but I still have expenses and I have to dig into my life savings for it. Thank goodness we do have a very kind chairman that helps me a lot, helps me get me to the conferences so that I can continue to learn more no matter where they are. Helps to fly me to where patients are if they really need me and they don't have anyone else. He's flown me to Arizona to actually meet with patients in person. I've flown to Florida. I've flown to New York. So it's not just even here in California. I've driven actually 7.5 hours from Northern California to Southern California during COVID to pick up a patient that was all alone, absolutely no family. And this person was on deck to lose their legs. And he was scared to go to a major hospital, as you can imagine, you know, with COVID running rampant. And he was scared of vascular surgeons cutting off his legs. And that was the next step for him. So I drove down, picked him up. I didn't even know him except for online. Right? How dangerous. My mom at the time was like, oh, what are you doing?
I don't know if you can see my face, but eyes got really large.
Okay. And so picked him up and drove him another 4 hours and got him to a limb saver that the limb saver knew this person was very scared, knew it was going to be a complex case, knew that a surgical option and endarterectomy would have been better, but it was either try an intervention or this person was going to get their legs cut off because they weren't going to a hospital willingly. It was going to be through the ER. So this doctor was able to open up this person's legs, and I drove this person back to the house, got some cleaners to come in because this person had a lot of things going on at the house, and was able to clean out the house, clean out the refrigerator, organize everything. And then I drove back to San Francisco and had to stay in a hotel for 2 days because I couldn't come home, and I had to take a COVID test before I could go back and help my parents. So this is just life. You know, I'm a woman of faith. I'm a woman of faith even more through this process. I believe that God gave me a purpose. I was not as much a woman of faith before. Literally, I feel like it was a very vivid vision, a very clear message. This is your purpose. This is what you need to be doing. And as I started doing this, the world started opening up to me and people started coming to me more and more. And what really affirmed it was we had two pastors actually come to me at different times. And each time they said that God told me an angel was going to come and help them not to have the surgery they were going to have. They had it. Both of them had them scheduled, but that an angel was going to come and save their legs and show them the way. And they swear by it that I'm their angel that God sent. So talk about an affirmation as to what I'm doing. So it means the world to me. I will do anything in my power to continue this. I wish we did have more funding because I don't like, as much as I appreciate having the freelance opportunities to do stories in the technology world, I'm highly respected as a tech journalist. So I continue there and friends give me opportunities to work, but it does take me away from saving life and limb and delays my ability to help people. And this is what I want to do full time. I don't get sleep half the time. I get calls in the middle of the night, patients needing coaching to dangle their legs over the side of the bed. They need company while they do it. They need motivation. They need support. They need love. They need someone just with them to show that there is hope to get them even just through the night. And I'm there for them.
Stay with us. We've got a break, but I think we're going to continue our conversation with an angel who's also my co-host, Ms. Kim McNicholas. So stay tuned.
3 years ago, my symptoms started with leg pain and leg cramps while walking.
Me too, with a tightness in my calves.
Well, do you know, my doctor thought that my leg cramps were a side effect of the statin he prescribed me.
Well, my doctor just brushed them off as another symptom of old age.
Mine thought the pain was radiating from my spine.
My doctor blamed my neuropathy on diabetes until I got a wound on my foot that just wouldn't heal.
Yeah, it turns out we all have peripheral artery disease, also known as PAD.
It's plaque buildup mainly in the leg arteries causing poor circulation.
For me, the diagnosis came too late and I lost my leg, but that does not have to happen to you.
No, it does not, because there are treatment options available if you're diagnosed early enough.
PAD, peripheral artery disease. If you've been experiencing leg pain, leg cramps, or neuropathy when walking, and your doctor isn't hearing you, we are. We are the Way to My Heart, the largest support network for peripheral artery disease patients, and we want to help you get back on your feet again. Visit our website at thewaytomyheart.com. Or call our LegSaver hotline, 415-320-7138. Your life and limb could depend on it.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
Interesting conversation we're having today, this Saturday. Tomorrow's Easter, for those of you who believe, the resurrection, which I did have a couple of interesting quotes, but we don't have time for that now because I've gotten great quotes from an angel. So that, you know, our Miss Kim. So, Kim, let's continue the conversation for a couple more minutes and then we can get to some folks that are on the call. Douglas and then Rebecca and Nancy. So in 2 minutes, sum up what it is that. So let me ask you this, first of all. If you didn't do what you do and get in, and not only like just emotionally and mentally, but financially, would this just kind of fall apart? Like, would your LegSaver hotline go away? Would you just go back to reporting with tech and things like that? Or what does that future look like?
We do need the funding, because one of the things that I think really sets us apart and really helps us is our ability to provide critical resources to reduce any sort of logistical, financial barriers to timely, effective care. There is some medical transport to help patients, but there are so many gaps in that transportation service for so many patients that we end up having to provide shared ride services for these patients to get them sometimes an hour and a half to see a specialist. Even, for example, we have a patient in Dalton, Georgia, that needed to get to Chattanooga, Tennessee, because that's where her prosthetic was. Well, she can't drive, and medical transport doesn't work out of state, but they don't have anyone closer to help her with her prosthetic. So I would have to get her a shared ride service every single time at $250 a pop in order a ride, like each way, to get her so that she can work with not only the prostheticist, but also with PT there in order to get her back on her feet. And so some of those resources probably would not be available if it weren't for donors. And we do have a lot of private donors. And what's the most interesting to me, you're going to love this, is our 501c3 is called The Way to My Heart, right? Our new doing business as name is the Global PAD Association. But our Facebook page, because it says The Way to My Heart and we are a 501c3, if someone searches for a Facebook fundraiser to honor someone or for a birthday and they look up, you know, heart or something, they get us and they're thinking, oh, well, I am going to do a fundraiser for my birthday for The Way to My Heart because the love of my life, Linda or Len, is the love of my life, The Way to My Heart. And so we continue to get hundreds and thousands of dollars, depending on who's doing the raising, simply because they think it's some sort of nonprofit for love. And I'm not going to change that Facebook simply because of that. We started a new one for the Global PAD Association, the peripheral artery disease community, for general fundraisers. But 90% of the funds that we get on Facebook are for people literally using our name, The Way to My Heart, to honor one of their loved ones.
Well, so perhaps the way to motivate and kind of show a quote, in big time air quotes, return on an investment for said industry or pharmaceutical company would be to share an example of, you know, your work in action. And it just so happens that you have a couple of folks that are willing to share that story today. And actually, I think I've kind of shared part of that story with us already. Is that correct?
I think we do. I think Douglas is on the line and has had his hand raised for about 20 minutes now and wants to jump in. Douglas, do you want to unmute and jump in with your story?
I want to hear Nancy's story because it really encompasses what you do. It just covers it all around.
I know, but we'll get to her. We wanted to hear from you, though, if that's okay.
But John, Ms. Dr. Phillips, I think we're on the cusp of that point. It's like PAD is right there being out there like cancer is, like HIV was back in the day, where nobody really heard about it until it really got out there and then people got engaged. And I think we as a whole, what Kim is doing, what we're all doing, helping her, is we're right on that point of getting over that hump. But that hump in the world we live in today is kind of big. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, but I mean, Kim is kind of like the big sister to a lot of people, or a close family member that's, you know, gets these patients across the goal line. It's a little bit sad that, you know, people have to resort to using her resources to get to a clinic visit or money to pay for wheels and things. But I mean,
that's the point. It's not the big things. It's the little things that she does every day. It's the phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. How many times those of us that are in the room now have gotten an Uber? How many times I'm standing at my door one time and there's a Kroger lady shows up with food, and it was like, where, I didn't order any food. And I'm thinking, I don't have any food because I'm going broke, living off a budget and going back and forth to Houston and home of Louisiana. So it's those little things that she does every day for all of us that make a difference in what she does and how she is our angel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that there's a term out there called a super communicator, somebody who listens really well, somebody who, does, I think, more listening than talking, and kind of like that person who's your, you feel like when you're listening to them, their focus is 100% on you.
Yeah.
And Kimberly, you certainly, you fit that mold. So kudos.
I've answered the phone and I've answered the Leg Saver hotline, and all I have to do is connect her to the hotline and off we go. So it's those moments, and that's in the middle of the afternoon at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. And that's what Douglas brings up a good point. It's, there were a lot of things that I was doing before that we can't do now. You mentioned, well, will the Leg Saver hotline will never go away. I think everyone is, I live a life of service. So no matter what, Leg Saver hotline is never going to go away. We're never going to stop doing the main thing we do, which is talking to patients, loving on them, helping to facilitate care. That is all donated time. As Douglas donates his time to be on the Leg Saver hotline. If I can't answer it, he does. If he can't answer it, we have a few more people that also are available to pick up the phone line and just be there when patients need them the most. And if we can't get to all the calls, then, because sometimes we'll get anywhere between 25 and 100 a week. I mean, it just depends on the week. And depending on what's going on that week, during holiday weeks, we end up getting a lot more calls because doctors aren't readily available. And patients, as you know, like to wait sometimes to the last minute when no one's available. And then they need help, or, getting facilitated care through an emergency room a lot of times. Or they need help just getting by. But some of the things that I've loved doing, and I think mean so much to so many patients, is when we can reward them. We have a free walking program. And for a while, it was amazing because Douglas is one of the most amazing artists you'd ever want to meet. He does wood burning.
Showing so much love to everyone right here. But sadly, we must go to commercial break. We will be back here on 860 AM. The Answer. Do not go anywhere. This inspiration will be right back.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I'm just trying to, wrap my head around what we've been discussing, and I know that this mission, and I think I'll call it a mission because that's exactly what it is, means a lot to all of us. And it means even more, I think, to Kim. And that's why it behooves all of us that participate to do what we can to secure that the mission moves forward. And part of that, the ability to secure the movement is financial aid. And so I will do my best to try to reach out to my contacts that can potentially help us with a grant to see if we can do that. But I think it's really important to pivot now to Nancy and Rebecca, because Rebecca, as you were saying during the break, you got some news regarding, is it your mom, right? With a vascular ailment that was pretty startling. You're trying to get your arms around it and your head spinning. Miss Nancy's head is probably spinning as well. And you find you didn't call the Leg Saver hotline, but you found the Facebook page or group.
Oh, she ultimately called the Leg Saver hotline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rebecca, tell us the story, please.
We were just kind of in shock from just finding out all this. And I ended up somehow on Facebook searching for a PAD support group. And I got in the support group and just kind of started reading some of the posts for at least a couple of days. And then I finally posted a question and somebody said right away, get a hold of Kim. And And then I think they gave the website for the Saver hotline or the phone number. And then I ended up calling you, Kim.
And where was I?
London.
I was actually in London at Dr. Lorenzo Petrone's conference, a vascular conference, and I was sitting next to vascular surgeon Dr. Michael Sia. I had Dr. Peter Schneider from UCSF in the VA here in San Francisco, another vascular surgeon sitting next to me. And I said, excuse me, no one's answering the Leg Saver hotline and I'm not letting it go. And I stood outside on the streets of London and I ended up getting the call from Rebecca. And Rebecca, do you remember what happened during that call that you were shocked about?
Yeah,
I was even shocked.
Yeah, you had Dr. Minkus on the phone within like 2 seconds.
So we did a three-way conference.
Yeah, that was on a Friday. That was on a Friday evening.
On a Friday evening at what, like 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And Dr. Minkus out of Phoenix, Arizona, first answered my text from London. And then I said, can you jump on this call with this patient's daughter? And he did right then and there. The two of them connected, talked for a few minutes, and her mom was in getting a leg-saving procedure the next week.
So, Rebecca, tell us, because I want to get into your head a little bit and Nancy's head as well, because a lot of people, I think, and as you know, as a physician, I tell the patient, you know, they see me for consultation. I think this is my opinion. You know, I know that they're hearing probably 10% or at least processing 10% of what I say. But, you know, the way the world works, I move on to the next patient and family. But you guys, the wheels were spinning, I think, a little bit. And y'all felt lost. And that's a failure on the healthcare system as a whole. But what did it mean to have the ability to call somebody like him and have an ear, a super communicator who's going to, you know, really listen to you and help you? I mean, that has to be a game changer, right?
Oh, yeah. It meant everything. And it meant, you know, at least gave us some hope.
Because was it the assumption that she was going to lose a leg or that there was no hope?
Yeah, she had gone in for one procedure so far, and it was with she can tell too. I think the doctor wasn't even on the consult. It just, she went in for the angioplasty, and the doctor just barely went in. I was out in the waiting room. Doctor barely went in and then yanked everything out and said, I can't do anything. You're just going to lose your leg. And then the doctor didn't even, the nurse came and got me in the waiting room, brought me back into the room. But the doctor himself, he went running off. He didn't even have the courtesy to tell me that the procedure had failed. Instead, he left the nurse standing above my mom across from me. The nurse was telling me that she was going to lose her leg and just take her home and keep her comfortable. Not the doctor. That was the nurse telling me that.
And you know, in full disclosure, because I had one last week, there was a patient who we could not, she didn't have any arteries really left below her leg, and not a candidate for bypass or any of the advanced therapies. And it is very humbling. And it's also difficult to have that conversation with not only the patient, but the family member, that there's really, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do. There is end stage peripheral arterial disease, just like there's end stage heart disease and, you know, metastatic cancer, things of that nature. I mean, it is what it is. But the fact that Nancy, your mom's disease was bad, but not bad enough, because obviously you were able to get connected with a physician that could help you. And
we have some more information though. So I want my mom to speak to that, because we got forwarded to a vascular surgeon. And so mom, go ahead and talk about yesterday.
Well, just to start quickly, I started with this problem 4 years ago, and that's the problem. I never was sent to, I was sent every place else, chiropractors, foot doctors, all of that. And that's a detriment to all of this, because now there's nothing they can do. The doctor told us, the vascular doctor told us, when were we there? Friday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
I can't even think what day it is.
He told us there's just nothing that can be done at best by giving me all sorts of pills. And you know what they are, Xarelto, Plavix,
Celostazole.
And basically he's hoping, best case scenario, that I won't lose my foot for 2 years at best case scenario. So, you know,
well, he's basically saying right now, keep her as comfortable as possible to keep her going as long as she can. And that the last resort is he'd have to do a foot to groin bypass. But then he's saying even at the best case scenario, that bypass would only last 2 years at best.
And the problem with doing anything more inside my leg, it's my right leg from my knee down. Well, it's, and actually they couldn't find any veins or stuff from the groin to the right knee, but my foot is the big problem. And they basically, if he goes in and tries to do vein surgery,
artery,
the chances are that it could hurt something that is, you know, they can't see stuff, but I obviously have some blood flow to my foot. Not a lot, but if he goes in and he messes with veins or arteries that possibly are working, it could further danger them and shut them off entirely. The other doctor before him did a stent in my upper leg, Rebecca says, I don't right. know where it is. Yeah. But anyway, and then I read a lot of stuff about people with stents in them have problems that they have to have them removed. So, you know, there's just no real answers.
I guess our question is, when do we just stop and just go with that? That's the end result.
Tell you what, so hang with us. We've got to go to break, and I'll help answer that question to the best of my ability when we come back. So stay with us.
And he did send me to a pain doctor.
Welcome back to the Heart of Innovation. For more on today's topic, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. Once again, here's Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips.
We only have a few minutes left of this really transformative Save My Piggies, in my opinion. But before we went to break, Nancy had asked the question about she was told that there was really nothing that could be done with respect to her vascular disease. And so, you know, I have to say that to patients as well, but there's always a caveat. And so in my opinion, and this is just my opinion, but when somebody has blockages below the knee, but they don't have an ulcer or skin breakdown, or they're not in what we call rest pain, I leave those alone. I do not intervene on those. They don't. And the reason I don't do that is because the durability just isn't very good. So, you know, we can put stents in, we can do bypass. I'm not a surgeon, but bypass can be done. But really, see, the issue that we run into is patients, because they sometimes think of about blockage in the heart artery. And if we have blocked heart arteries, we open those up because patients are having symptoms. We're trying to help relieve symptoms. But if someone's not having limb threatening ischemia to their foot or the, you know, their toes, and but yet they have some blockages, there's at present time, there's really not a good treatment. We open those arteries to preserve the toe and the foot in someone who has an ulcer or severe ischemia. And that's where we as physicians and care providers just have to do a better job communicating that to patients and their families. I hope I answered the question, because I don't get the sense that you have wounds or anything right now. Is that right?
I have a couple of small wounds. My toe on my right foot, my big toe, has leakages coming in from the side. And then I have a small hole on the outside of my small toe that is just, it takes everything a long, long time to heal over. But it's working on it again.
Yeah, and the fact that there is healing, there's other options too. I mean, this is a little sometimes controversial, but there's hyperbaric medicine where we put you in the chamber and give you supersaturated oxygen that kind of helps with the healing process. But it's always a case, in my opinion, it's always a case by case evaluation. But you know, the oath we take is first do no harm. And so if your physician feels like doing something would be more harmful than beneficial, then you have to, if you trust this person, then you have to kind of go with it.
Right. So the big thing I face is pain every day. Rebecca will tell you this morning, I had worst pain ever. And yet some days I don't. I was walking up to 4,000 steps a day just this past week. And I'd like to continue that. But then
that's great.
Yesterday and today, I honestly haven't walked. So,
well, sometimes you can go, you know, 3 to 4 days and then you do need to take a break. Doesn't mean don't walk at all. Always walk some. But
right.
That's where we come in and we can guide you through and we can be there for you. So you're not alone.
Right.
At any step.
That's the biggest thing. Kim, like, right. I mean, their patients aren't alone because of what you do, which is why we have to fight to get to keep this mission going.
Yes.
And part of it is the funding aspect of it.
Right.
And part of it is this show, right? Having, you know, this opportunity where both Nancy and Rebecca and Douglas and Maria and so many that I see on here have an opportunity to ask you as a doctor the questions and feel like they're being heard and get some additional advice. So let's keep this going.
Amen to that.
You're all cool on that side. I just need to let it play out.
You've been listening to The Heart of Innovation with Emmy Award-winning journalist Kim McNicholas and interventional cardiologist Dr. John Phillips. Our mission is to help patients live a better quality of life through comprehensive education, real-time support, and high-touch advocacy in partnership with thewaytomyheart.org and Abbott. Our purpose is to reduce the 1.5 million heart attacks and strokes and nearly 200,000 amputations annually. For more information regarding topics you've heard discussed on today's program, go to theheartofinnovation.org. That's theheartofinnovation.org. The Heart of Innovation is for educational and informational purposes only, and advice and views shared are not a substitute for medical advice from your own supervising physician. Do not act on any information provided in this show without the explicit consent from your own healthcare team. If you think you are having a medical emergency, call your local emergency number or go to the nearest hospital or emergency room.